Thanks, Linda, and as Linda's been sharing with us through the service, and we've been singing, the theme is basically this morning around the law and the spirit. I was thinking when Linda did that demonstration of how important instructions are. My five-year-old grandson is just moving from Duplo to Lego. I guess you all know what that's about. Duplo's big bits, it's easy to put together. But boy, Lego, I need to follow the instructions. I believe that young people get into it pretty well, but there's some very small pieces that you think, where does that belong? Without instructions, I'd be totally lost. Every community has rules or laws that govern our behaviour, the behaviour of individuals within the community. It's a necessary part of our lives so that we know what we should be doing and what we should not be doing. Laws are supposed to make for a safe community where everybody has a fair go and all are protected from being hurt by our own actions or by other people's actions. Currently, here we have to deal with new laws designed to protect us and others from the full impact of the pandemic. Any new situations such as this often require new laws to be enacted or old ones to be revised. So as we look at the scriptures and this reading from Nehemiah, the people of Israel faced a new situation after the devastation of their defeat by the Babylonians. Many were taken away from their country into captivity. Then with the defeat of the Babylonians by the Persian Empire, they were freed and they were able to return to their own country. Nehemiah led the rebuilding of the ruined city of Jerusalem and the temple, while Ezra, the priest, the scribe, had the role of rebuilding the community. This involved establishing the law for the community that would govern the people's actions. So important in any situation where people come together. Ezra, therefore, read the book of the law. The book of the law of Moses, which the Lord had given them, had given to Israel. It was a sacred law. And through the law, the people were rediscovering what it meant to be God's people as they rebuilt their community. It's generally thought that Ezra was reading what for us today constitutes the first five books of our Old Testament. For these constituted the foundational documents of the nation of Israel. And the reading of the law was accompanied by the festival of tabernacles, as we heard. People weren't to mourn when they heard the law and realized how they'd fallen short, but they were to celebrate God's goodness. And the festival of tabernacles was one of the great Jewish festivals where they commemorated the Exodus from Egypt and their journey through the wilderness, and it was, as we know, through that time that they received the law from God through Moses that formed them as a people when they entered into the promised land. Now in this new situation, after their country had been devastated, they returned to hear the law and to celebrate the festival of tabernacles, because it was in the wilderness that the people lived in tents, tabernacles or tents. And so every year, they were supposed to go out of their houses and go and live in tents for a week as part of the festival. It was all part of reforming, reconstituting themselves as a people, as a nation. By the time of Jesus, the law of Moses was very well established in Israel. There was the temple, much activity in Jerusalem centered around the temple, but away from Jerusalem, communities gathered in local synagogues. In these, the law was read, the law of Moses was read and was interpreted. Jesus would have grown up with the regular pattern of the Sabbath worship in the synagogue in Nazareth. He was a young man now. He'd been away in the south. He was baptized where he was baptized by John. And then he spent time in the wilderness where he was tempted by the devil to turn aside from his divine purpose. So having experienced all that, he returned home to Nazareth, as the scripture tells us, filled with the power of the Holy Spirit. So when he stood in the synagogue to read, he was given not the book of the law of Moses, but the scroll of the prophet Isaiah. It's likely, although it's not certain, but it's pretty likely that the writings of Isaiah 61 that Jesus was reading came from the time of the return to Jerusalem after the collapse of the Babylonian Empire. They are words of hope to a community who's trying to refind itself, re-establish itself. Words of hope. And they were looking forward to a new day when the Spirit of God would establish a new order. This became the expectation of the people. It was an expectation in Jesus' time. They had the old law, the law of Moses, which they were trying to obey. But there was an expectation that a new thing was coming. So after reading the passage, Jesus declares that that day had come. The new day had come. His mission was to establish a new community of justice and peace. And the power of this new community would not be in the law of Moses, but in the Holy Spirit. There was something very new happening in Jesus' time. That's why he said, today, in your presence, this prophecy is being fulfilled. The Apostle Paul makes clear in his letter to the Romans that the law will not save us. Sure, we need it. The power of the law is in the fear of being punished for breaking it. When you think about it, ultimately that's the power of the law. If there wasn't any punishment, then we'd say, oh, why bother? But we know we don't obey the law, and if we're caught, there will be punishment. But we all break the law in some way or other. I'm flat out understanding what the law is around the pandemic. I mean to say, should we really be wearing masks? Is this an enclosed space or is it an open space? The law always needs interpretation in particular situations. Jesus got into trouble when he was out with his disciples because he picked some wheat on the Sabbath. And some said, that's against the law. That's work. So even Jesus was accused of breaking the law. The law, the power of the law is basically based on fear. We know if we break one of these new laws around the pandemic, we're likely to be fined $5,000. That's an incentive to keep the law. There are, of course, sound reasons for laws that we have, the pandemic laws, relating to the safety and health of ourselves and of other people. But there is always with the law the threat of punishment for disobeying. The same is true of God's law that Ezra read to the people who returned from captivity. I guess that's why initially they were very upset. They were weeping because they realized they fell short of what God expected of them. As I said, even Jesus was accused of breaking the law. It often depended on the interpretation in particular situations. Jesus did not come to abolish the law, but to fulfill it. Even if we have the Spirit of God, we need the law to guide us as individuals and as a community. We need those instructions, otherwise we're sort of floundering along. It's good to have some external reference and say, this is the right thing to do, this is not the right thing to do. But none of us are perfect, none of us keep the law perfectly. The law gives order to our lives and to our community, but it does not save us. What the Spirit does is free us from the fear of punishment. It doesn't free us necessarily from punishment. If we break the law of the land, we'll be punished, whatever. Now you're saying, oh, I'm a Christian. The Spirit has set me free. Oh, yeah, mate. It doesn't apply. What the Spirit does is free us from the fear of punishment, and ultimately the fear of the punishment of God in the end. Once we recognize that we all fall short of the glory of God, the Spirit frees us from the fear of punishment. Jesus perfectly fulfilled the law in God's eyes, but Jesus suffered the punishment under the law, the punishment of death on our behalf. As Paul says, the wages of sin, the outcome of sin is death. Jesus took our death upon himself, although he didn't need to. He didn't need to be punished. Jesus took our death upon himself so that we would be free of the fear of punishment. So through Jesus, we are freed from the power of the law. Doesn't mean we're free, as Paul argues in his letter, great letter, the letter to the Romans. We need to read it over and over again. Doesn't mean we're free to do what we like. We're free from the fear of punishment. We're free to do our best to obey the law in the knowledge that that's not going to save us, but it's helpful for getting life, keeping life in order here on earth. Through Jesus, we know that God loves us. God forgives us. For the gift of the Spirit is love, not fear. As the scripture says, perfect love drives out all fear. When we know God loves us, we know as a parent, sometimes we have to punish our children or discipline them so they know what the right way is. That doesn't mean we don't love them. We still love them. But discipline is an important part of keeping us on track. So Jesus began his ministry in Galilee, not with, as back in the back in Israel, not with a call back to the law of Moses, but with a declaration that a new day had dawned. A new day. The Spirit of the Lord was upon him. He would, after completing his mission and being raised from the dead, share that Spirit with his followers. We have that Spirit. The Spirit of love, joy, peace, patience, goodness. The fruit of the Spirit that we can experience. We have the Spirit of God. Thanks be to God. We are the body of Christ, as we sang. We are the church. His Spirit is with us. We have no need to fear the law. In the power of the Holy Spirit, we should strive to act in love and thus fulfill the law of God. What did Jesus say was the greatest commandment? To love God. The greatest law is to love God with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength, and our neighbor as ourself. Love drives out fear. The Spirit enables us to live under the law, to obey the law as best we can, knowing that we'll sometimes fall short, but not be afraid, not fear punishment, but know the love of God for us. God's perfect love drives out all fear through the Holy Spirit. Amen.